Good morning. Today's daf in Chulin is Lamed. We are on Chav Tesam and Beis, and we are involved in a machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. As I mentioned yesterday, it's really one of the highlights of the parak in terms of like a conceptual machlokas that exists between the Amoraim, and that is whether or not Yesh L'Shchita Mitzchila V'Yatzof or Ein L'Shchita L'Abesof. And Reish Lakish's position is Ein L'Shchita L'Abesof, which means as follows. So in order to achieve Shchita, so you have to cut through both Simonim, as we've discussed now extensively throughout the first part of the Masechta. And so that you have to cut through the first two simanim, the first pipes of the animal, the trachea and the esophagus. And the question now conceptually is as follows. In order to achieve shchita, so you have to do the majority of both. That we've already established a number of times. When I get to the majority, so the animal now is shechted, properly shechted. When I am shechting now from the first from the first part of the pipe up to marker 51, so does that consider shchita, or is that just simply preparation? In other words, that's prep work for the shchita, but it's not the actual shchita itself. The shchita itself comes at marker 51. And to which the Reish Lakish's position is, ein el shchita ala basof. No, it only has a status of shchita when you get to marker 51. Up until that point in time, it's just simply prep. Masha Enkin, according to Rabbi Yochanan, yesh lo shchita mitchila v'yatzof. No, it has a status of shchita from the very beginning until the very end. Okay, so here we have a machlokus amongst the Amoraim. Now, how does it play out halachically? So at the end of yesterday's daf, or at the end of the part that we got to in yesterday's daf, so we learned as follows. This is the nafkamina, one of the nafkaminas of the Gemara. The other ones the Gemara didn't love so much, but this nafkamina the Gemara liked a lot. Let's say you shechted miyutz demanim chutz la'azara, meaning that we know that we're obviously describing a carbon right now. Carbon has to be shechted in the azara. So let's say that the first little bit of the shechita you do outside of the azara, miyut kama, the first little bit. And then what you do is you take the animal inside into the azara and you finish off the job in the azara. We know there's an iser in the Torah, shechutei chutz. If I shecht a carbon outside of the azara, one is subject to a serious karis penalty. So therefore, if I only shecht the miyut kama outside of the azara, is such an individual in violation of shechutei chutz? So if you subscribe to Rav Yochanan, the answer is yes, you are. Because Rav Yochanan says, Yesh lo shchita mitchila v'yatzof. That first part that you did does qualify as shchita. Obviously, if you would have stopped there, the shchita is not yet completed. That's true. But nevertheless, so, assuming that you are going to conclude and you are going to complete the shchita, so that little first that you did qualifies as shchita, and therefore you're in violation of shchut echutz. Masha Enkin, according to Reish Lakish, you're not going to be chayav. On a technicality, of course, meaning what you did was not good, but on a technicality, you're not going to be chayav. Why? Because according to Reish Lakish, ein l'shchita ala besof. Shchita only, status-wise, comes at the end when you shechted rov simanim. Up until that point in time, it's just simply prep work. It doesn't have the status of shchita. And so therefore, one is not in violation of shchut echutz under such a circumstance. That is the Gemara that we did yesterday. That's one of the nafkaminos. The Gemara spoke out. Let's continue in the Gemara right where we left off yesterday. Masiv Rebbe Zera. Rebbe Zera now asks the following question based on a Mishnah in Para. In order to understand this Mishnah in Para, so some of the most basic information that we need to know, and Rashi over here goes through it, and that is, if you take a look at Rashi, Mitamins the Begadim, I know we didn't do the Mishnah yet, but here Rashi gives us the background information. Kidichsiv, Eitzeres Vezov, Ushni Tolas. I'm reading the Rashi. Vishlich El Toch Srefa Sapara. The Torah, in giving us the instructions in terms of how to prepare the solution of the paraduma, the ashes together with the water. So here we're talking about first creating the ashes. So you're going to be burning a red cow, and you're going to be adding to it eighth eras, cedar wood, azov, hyssop, and shni talas, crimson wool, and right, red wool. In any event. So the and you're mixing that together with the para with the para in the burning. Now, Torah says that under those circumstances, because you were involved in an activity, so now you are tameh. Remember the basic principle of the paraduma: it's metar tameim and it's metame taharim. So it's metame taharim, and that means involvement. If you were involved in the preparation of the paraduma, so you're going to be subject to tuma. Uksib b'sreifa saw. Rashi continues, and in the burning of the paraduma, the Torah also says, Vasar Vasa Vigomer. And if you read on in the Chumash, you'll see the Torah says, and such an individual also needs to go to a mikvah. So, in other words, in the introduction of any of the ingredients into the paraduma, or the actual burning of the paraduma, so that is involvement, and therefore you're going to be tummy. Now, by the way, tumma over here, v'chibes begadav. Not only are you physically, your body's tummy, but the clothing you're wearing also is going to be tummy as well. Good. Now, v'tanya b'sifrei, now Rashi continues, im ha'mashich ha'zeizot metame begadim ha'sorv lo kol shekein. If by just adding a little bit of the hyssop or and any of the other ingredients, if for such minor involvement you're going to become tameh, so for the burning, which is obviously a more significant role, so kol shekein, of course you're going to need to be mitar yourself. Matam alamer v'asaref. So ba'kasav limit al kol ha'oskim bepar mitchil v'yatzof shi'itunim tachboses begadim. So what we're learning over here says this phrase, a basic rule. If you are involved in any step and any stage of the preparation of the parah aduma, you're subject to tumah. You're going to need to tov on the mikvah, as is your clothing as well. Good. So that is the basic information that we need to know. That's the groundwork in order for us to understand and appreciate the Mishnah and parah. The Mishnah begins. We're going to go back now to the Gemara and see the Mishnah inside. Kol ha'oskim b'parah mitchil v'yatzof mitamim begadim. Anyone who's involved with the parah from the beginning until the end is mitami beged. And again, like I described earlier, mitami beged means not only are you tummy, but your clothing is as well. Now, if you're involved in any activity regarding the preparation of the parah aduma, and you are not singularly minded and singularly focused on just working on the parah aduma, but you do another activity, we're going to call it right now a mundane activity. It's mundane just simply because it's not the parah aduma. And you do that in conjunction with the parah aduma, you have actually disqualified the parah aduma. Now, let's say a disqualification occurs with the shechit. Now, Rashi over here describes it as the animal becoming an avela, but it could also be with the way we just described it. In other words, in addition to shechting the animal, let's say you also cut a gourd at the same time. So, bein kodem psula, bein la'acher psula, ein metame begadim. So, whether it is at the, whether this occurred before disqualification or after disqualification, your clothing are not going to become tummy. And over here, the understanding of the Mishnah Para, actually pretty straightforward. Meaning, once you know all the rules, it's very straightforward. You're only going to become tummy if you're involved in a kasher paraduma. Once the paraduma now has been disqualified for whatever reason, so now this is not a kasher paraduma, and you're not going to become tummy. So oddly enough, just if you're following the irony over here, you want to become tummy because that means that you are successfully preparing the parah aduma. By you not becoming tummy, that means that a disqualification occurred with the parah aduma. Good. So behaza'asa, now after you shech the parah aduma, so then you take the blood of the parah aduma and you're sprinkling it in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. Let's remind one another, the parah aduma is not shechted in the Beis HaMikdash. It's done outside of the Beis HaMikdash on Har Mishkan, Har Zesim, to the east of the Azara, facing the Azara. And after shechting, so there's going to be sprinkling. Not the traditional sprinkling in the Beis HaMikdash, but in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash, where you collect the blood and you sprinkle in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash 7 times. So, v'hazasa karam psula mitame begadim. La'acher psula ena mitame begadim. So if you did so before any disqualification occurred, you are tame begadim, meaning up until that point in time, you have been involved in a kasher paraduma. But if after, let's say, you were involved in the sprinkling after disqualification, whatever the disqualification was, doesn't really matter. If after the disqualification, you're not going to be metame begadim because no, the paraduma no longer is a kasher paraduma, and therefore your clothing is not going to become tame. Okay, adkan. That's the Mishnah paraduma that gave us the most basic information regarding anyone's involvement in any of the preparations of the paraduma is going to be subject to tumas begadim, and if for whatever reason the paraduma becomes disqualified in the process, so anyone involved after disqualification, post disqualification, is not going to be tame begadim. Good. That's the Mishnah para. In other words, isn't the paraduma going to become mitame you by virtue of the fact it's going to be an avela? Excellent question. Rashi actually addresses that. Excellent. Good. Now,
so the only time that passes before the psul is by the shechita.
So the e amart yesh lo shechita mitchila v'yatzov. Perfect. So now, let's sit on the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that shechita is mitchila v'yatzov. So liflog nami b'shechita sa. So now we can actually make a distinction in the shechita itself of the paraduma. Because consider, Wonderful question of the Gemara. So good. So if Rav Yochanan is right, so that means that the Shechita status started at the very beginning and continues all the way to the very end. And so that means now that we could make a distinction in the Shechita itself. If you started the Shechita and everything was going good and you were involved in that portion of it, so you're going to be Metame Begadim. If, let's say now in the middle of the Shechita, things go awry, whatever, the animal becomes an Avela, or whatever other disqualification, you start to cut another item with it, so then you're not going to be Metame Begadim. If we subscribe to Rav Yochanan's viewpoint, by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah doesn't do this, sounds like the Mishnah is not subscribing to Rav Yochanan, and obviously if you're Rav Yochanan, you don't want a Mishnah to be going against you. So Amar Rava, and his Kalkala Shechita Sukamar, so Rava says this is not a question at all. Because consider, even according to Rav Yochanan, if something goes awry in the middle of the Shechita, even if you subscribe to the principle of Yesha Shechita Mitchil V'Yatzof, if something happens at the end of the Shechita, retroactively, that's going to disqualify the entire Shechita. The Gemara says it. Shani Hasam Diglai Milsalam Afred Lav Shechita Yiklal. Yeah, exactly. When Shechita goes awry, even according to Rav Yochanan, I, Rav Yochanan, contend that of course the Shechita status goes from the very beginning to the very end. But if the Shechita is not completed in a state of Hechsher, so that doesn't mean the beginning was good, the end is bad. It means it was all bad. I only contend Yeshua Shechita Mitchila V'Yatzof, where if Shechita is done successfully from beginning to end, so then we look at the Shechita act from beginning to end as a Maisa Shechita, as a Chalosh Shechita. But if it goes bad at the end, I can't go back to the beginning and say, oh, beginning was good, it was just the end that was bad. It's all bad. So, Amar Ravi Kashli HaKashli. Gemara says, okay. Ravi says, but I'll tell you what. Even though I defend Rav Yochanan, but I myself still have a question. L'manda Amar Neshchita L'Besof. My question now is going to be focused on Reish Lakish. For Reish Lakish, who was of the opinion that Shechita is only at the end, Liflug Be'echsher Depara. Kigon Deshechtu B'Tshei Gavra, De'Gavra Kama Lo Metame V'Gavra Basra Metame. Oh, I wonder, right, what a wonderful question against Reish Lakish. Let's have two people involved in the Shechita of the Paraduma. The first person will shecht, let's say, the first 50%. The second person will shecht the second 50%. And good, and Rov Amar Just Melech, if I can quote from Rashi that we learned yesterday, although Rashi did not like that pshat at all. But in other words, okay, so so two people now be shechting the Paraduma, and now according to Reish Lakish, we have an opportunity now to highlight. If you're right, Reish Lakish, so who's going to become Tamei? Not the first guy. Because what's the first 50% according to Reish Lakish? Not Shechita. Prep. So it's not Shechita. So the first guy is not going to become Tamei. The second guy, however, who shechted the second half, he will become Tamei. That would have given the Mishnah an unbelievable opportunity to now differentiate between the first part of the Shechita and the second part of the Shechita according to Reish Lakish. And yet the Mishnah did not do that. So Amar Rav Yosef Trei Gavra Bechazivcha Kamart. So Rav Yosef now defends Reish Lakish. You know why the Mishnah didn't do that? The Mishnah is going to avoid a scenario where two people are shechting the Paraduma. Bar Mine, leave this case out of that discussion. We're not going to have two people shechting the Paraduma. Da'ud de Tanina, because remember what we learned in yesterday's daf, and we're repeating the same point again. Tizbach Shalei Shneim Shechtim, Zevach Echad, Tizbechei Hu, right, based on the Korean Ksiv, we learned that when it comes to a carbon, one person should be shechting one animal. That's the ideal state of Shechita. Now, the Paraduma, as we already highlighted, is not a classic carbon, but nevertheless, it has carbon-like qualities to it. And so therefore, when shechting the Paraduma, so we're going to operate with the same ideal principle of one person shechting the Paraduma, and that's why we're not going to be highlighting this as a difference, even according to Reish Lakish. Amar Le Abaye Lav Itmar La Amar Rava Bar Bachana Amar Rav Yochanan Zu Devar Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Steam Us Up. So Abaye says, yeah, but on that position where we shouldn't have two people shechting one carbon, that's not unanimously agreed upon. That's the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Sti Masa. Rashi over here writes that when you have an anonymous Mishnah, so it's called Sti Masa. If you remember the very beginning of Megillah, right? There's a Rashi there on the Beis Amud Aleph, where Rashi also highlights over there. Then we say Sti Masa. So we're talking about anonymous Mishnayos, which quite frankly, says Rashi over there, all could be attributed back to Rabbi Akiva. Meaning Rabbi Akiva is the Mesorah that provides the Stam Mishnayos, and if you see Rashi over there, Stam Mishnayos, Stam Brisos, Stam Toseftos, it all goes back to the Mesorah of Rabbi Akiva. But in any event, for our purposes right now, that opinion that two people shouldn't be shechting a karban, that's Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint. So, but according to the Chacham, you can have two people shechting one karban. So, number one, says the Gemara, not everyone agrees that it's one person per one karban. That's number one. Point number two, says the Gemara, Ula Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Nami, Liflo Kigon, Deshachat, Chai Gavra, Bishnei Sudarim. Even if I do subscribe to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, I could still make a nafkamina for Reish Lakish, which would be the following. For the first half of the Shechita, so you put on one hat, and for the second half of the Shechita, same person takes off the first hat, puts on the second hat. And now, wonderful. Meaning, remember, if you're involved in any of the avoda of the Parah Aduma, so not only are you tummy, but your clothing is tummy as well. Oh, so good. So even if I'm limiting myself to one person shechting the Parah Aduma, but for the first half of the Shechita where he was wearing one hat, that hat is not going to require a tefillah. Because, according to Reish Lakish, that was just prep work. That wasn't Shechita. And the second half of the Shechita, where he now has a new hat on, that would require tefillah. And so here we are. We can make a distinction in the act of Shechita itself, even according to Reish Lakish. Not even. According to Reish Lakish. So Chai Gavra B'Shnei Sudarim. D'Suda Kama Lo Metameh V'Suda Basra Metameh. So Ela B'Psula D'Para Kamari Be'Akshera Lo Kamari. So the Gemara says, well, you're right. The Mishnah could have highlighted these distinctions and Achinami. Everything we said would be true according to Reish Lakish. But the Mishnah's focus is not on when things go right, but when things go wrong. In other words, the Mishnah is just right now focused on the idea of psul, not heksher. So these are cases of heksher. Everything went right. That's just simply not the focus of the Mishnah, and that's why the Mishnah didn't highlight these particular cases, but in Hachinami, according to Reish Lakish, these in fact would be good nafkaminas. Mesav Rav Ibi Bar Avin. So the Gemara now is going to continue in its pursuit of this discussion of how we view the beginning of Shechita. Is it just prep? That's Reish Lakish's viewpoint. Or does that have the status of Shechita Mitzchila V'Ad Sof? And so for this, the Gemara now is going to turn its attention to another halacha. And again, over here, we need some background information in order to understand and appreciate. We know there's an issur in the Torah of Lo Tishchet Chametz Al Dam Zivchi. When you shech the Karban Pesach, you should not be owning chametz. Now, in addition to the fact that it's Erev Pesach, it's after Chatzos, there's an issur d'oraisa of ownership. In addition to that, if you were to shech the Karban Pesach while owning chametz, you are now violating another law in the Torah. This law in the Torah is not just limited to shechting the Karban Pesach while owning chametz on Erev Pesach post Chatzos. It also would be true for any Karban that you shecht in the afternoon. And for that matter, over the duration of Pesach. Okay, Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Pesachim. Rashi, Be'ashoche Pesach al chametz kai, Be'perek tamid nishchat. That's the fifth parak of Pesachim. And Rashi continues, Umar binan hasam l'shar zvachim sheshachtam bepesach al hachametz shaloke aleihem. Misham lo seshachet hachametz dam zivchi. V'kama Rav Shimon sheshachet pesach b'soch hamoy kigon shava bar ba'asar v'hikrev acher tachtav v'nimsa rishon b'moed. So now let's go to a case where classic scenario that comes up throughout Kachim. I lost my Karban Pesach. I replaced it with another one. On the 14th, I shechted my replacement. I found my original Karban Pesach. It's now Pesach. We're in the middle of Yontif, or it could be Chol HaMoed. V'shachto l'shmo al hachametz pater. Da'azevach pasohu d'lo chazei shlo b'zmano l'shmo. And if I shechted, I know it's a complicated scenario. If I shechted my lost Karban Pesach, l'shem Karban Pesach, on the Yontif of Pesach, it's disqualified. Because remember now, it's no longer the right time. The only time that you shecht Karban Pesach is on the 14th in the afternoon. So now that I'm shechting it on the 16th or the 17th or the 18th or whatever, any Chol HaMoed day of Pesach, and I'm shechting it l'shem Karban Pesach, So we learned in the beginning of Zvachim that if I shecht a carbon, l'shem carbon Pesach, chutz zmano, no, I don't really mean it that way, but in other words, not on the 14th, that will be a psul, that will be disqualification. You only violate the iser of lo seshechen al chametz al dam zivchi when you're shechting a valid carbon while owning chametz. But because you're shechting an invalid carbon, so therefore, on a technicality, you're not violating this particular law. Again, I know that's a mouthful, but that's the basic principles. And now with that in mind, let's go forward. Uva moed, lishmo patur, shelo lishmo chayev. So everything I just said, the Gemara encapsulates in 5 words. So good. So concise. Uva moed. So if now I'm in Yontav, I'm in Chol HaMoed Pesach, and I took my lost carbon Pesach and I shechted it lishmo pater. On a technicality, you're not violating the iser of lo seshechet al chametz.
Because the second animal is already the new designated carbon Pesach.
It's more easier and simpler because this carbon that you're shechting right now is pasul. Period. Period. And shelo lishmo pater and shelo lishmo chayev. But if I took my carbon Pesach and I shechted it shelo lishmo, which means that I'm now converting it into a shlamim, so then the carbon is good, and that means that you're not. Because now that the carbon is a good carbon, so now you're in violation of shechting a carbon while owning chametz, and so therefore you're in violation of the law. Ve'avinam ba. Now, after learning this Mishnah, it's 5 words, it's all it is. Ve'avinam ba. Time of shelo lishmo. So over here, what does it sound like? It sounds like in order to take a carbon Pesach, what once was a carbon Pesach, and reassign it, it doesn't happen automatically, but you have to reassign it. Because it says, shelo lishmo. Sounds like there has to be a positive reassignment of the carbon. Now, hastama pater. That means that without reassigning, it would be pater. The Gemara says, but I don't understand. Va'amai pater. Pesach b'shal yimosah shana shlamimu. Isn't reassignment happen automatically? So Shmamina Pesach B'Shal Yemosu Shana Bayakira. So it sounds like over here that even though it's true that a carbon Pesach, which for whatever reason was not brought on the 14th, and I'm bringing it another day, so it sounds like it needs reassignment. It doesn't happen automatically. That's what it sounds like. But the Gemara says, but the Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda Nizrukam Mipichabur VeAmaru Hach B'Maiskin Kigon Shayu Balim Temei Mesim Din Nizchem LePesach Sheni D'Stam LShmo Kai. Not so fast. It could very well be that the reason that over here it's requiring positive reassignment is because we're talking about a very specific case in which this carbon Pesach was actually owned by somebody who did not bring their carbon Pesach on Pesach Rishon on the first opportunity on the 14th day of Nisan. They were Tamei Meis, and they were not the majority. So therefore, they get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So this animal in question now does not experience automatic reassignment because they're looking at this animal for Pesach Sheni. Maybe that's the case. And when I say maybe, right, the B'nai HaChabura thought this, in fact, is a case. And that's why this is a case where it requires positive reassignment. But under normal circumstances, automatic reassignment. Okay, that's already a lot of information. And now on all this, the Gemara now analyzes. So in this very limited situation, you require akira, positive reassignment. Under normal circumstances, automatic reassignment. Now with all that stated, the Gemara says, now let's analyze. So let's now subscribe to Rav Yochanan for a moment. Let's say that shchita, the process, goes from the very beginning to the very end. If so, le mitzchila shchita. Oh, so what a wonderful question. It really is nuanced, but once you hear it, it's great. According to Rav Yochanan, that first little bit that you shechted, what is that? Rav Yochanan says, that's shchita. But what are you shechting right now? You're shechting a carbon Pesach, but not in its right time. So now, what have you effectively done? You apostled it. And so Ella Iamart in Lashita Ella Besof, but if I subscribe to Reish Lakish, so now what? So came to Shachabe Porta, it's Chele Mi Pesach. So now once I shech just a little bit, am I not pushing it away from Pesach? Meaning because that first little bit that I shecht, according to Reish Lakish, that's just simply prep. Doesn't that prep create the reassignment that we were looking for previously? And itchele mi Pesach, we've pushed it away now from Pesach. And idach ki kashachit shlam kashachit. And so doesn't that mean that according to Reish Lakish, it every single time you shecht it, it creates reassignment? Because according to Reish Lakish, that first part that you're shechting is not shechita per se. It is not status-wise shechita. It's prep. And by definition now, that prep is creating the reassignment. So Amale Abaye. So Abaye says, I don't agree. Nihi de'itche le mi Pesach, mi de'me Pesach mi itche. I don't agree that it creates automatic reassignment. Because even though it's true, according to Reish Lakish, that first little bit that you shechted is not a maisa shechita. It doesn't have the status of shechita. I'll give you that. But it doesn't automatically create reassignment because consider, even though it's no longer a carbon Pesach per se, but still from a value standpoint, from a kedusha standpoint, it still has kedusha's carbon Pesach. It's what the Gemara describes as demei Pesach. And from that standpoint, it still has Kedusha's carbon Pesach. V'chitem abaya hamadavar racha. The Gemara says, now wait 1 second. If you're telling me that it's Kedusha's carbon Pesach, you know, in order for something to become redeemed, it has to be standing alive and well. If we're in the Shechita process, are we not now, isn't the animal dead? And if in fact the animal is dead, it's not subject to redemption. We can only have a discussion of having carbon Pesach Kedusha if we could redeem it. But if I can't redeem it, so then we can't even be having the discussion of Demei carbon Pesach. V'hatananim, we learned in the Mishnah, Shachar b'shnayim or Rov shnayim, v'adayni mefarcheses hi, harei kechayel chol devareha. And meanwhile, a Mishnah which we're going to be learning together, that if I shecht two or the majority of two, and it's still quivering, so harei kachaya l'chol devara, it is like a live animal. And so therefore what the Gemara is saying is that, no, even though shechting occurs, it's still, at least from a halachic standpoint, is considered alive, still subject to hamada v'haracha, still is redeemable, and so therefore we have not pushed it off from the Demei Karben Pesach. So basically what the Gemara tried to do is suggest that, according to Reish Lakish, because the first act of Shechita is not Shechita per se, it's just simply prep, so doesn't that create automatic reassignment? And the Gemara's response is, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Okay, that's a good, simple way to explain the last number of lines of Gemara. We're at an end to the discussion of the Gemara between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and so what do we have? A major machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish and how to look at the totality of Shechita. Is the Shechita status begin at the very beginning, going all the way through, that's Rav Yochanan, or everything up until 51% is prep work, and that is just simply a hachana, but the actual Shechita and Shechita status only comes at the majority at Rov. That's Reish Lakish. What we did over the course of the entire sugya is we quoted a couple of Mishnayos, one in Para and another one in Pesachim, and each one of them seems to be supporting, attacking the position of Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan. The Gemara deflects all challenges. The Gemara leaves this machlokas as a stalemate. Amar Rav Yehud Amar Rav. Hashoche b'shtayim v'shoshem mekama shechita sukshev. And now we begin now the next sugya of the day. It's really the big sugya of today. And that is the following. Let's say I shecht the siman in two or three places. Now what I'm going to do over this morning is present the Gemara like Rashi. And just like Rashi. But what I will do is, I will say good Peshat and Rashi. Now, how do I know it's good Peshat and Rashi? Because Tosfos is going to say this Peshat and Rashi. So, and now, if you can follow me well, this is much better visually than it is from an audio standpoint, but I will do my best. When I generally cut a siman, so what I'm doing is I'm making one incision that goes to the neck, and as the Gemara described earlier, what you're going to have is you're going to have separation. The two, the neck is going to open up as you're cutting through. In fact, if you remember, we learned back on Daf Ches and Chulin, it's going to open up so much that the side of the knives are not even going to come into contact with the neck as it opens up so wide, as you're cutting through. Good. And what I just described, the Gemara's terminology, is Shechita Mifo Ra'as. Mefaras means it's an exposed shechita. As the knife is going through, it's opening up and clearing away. Good.
Mefaras means that you can see the neck, or you can see the knife.
It sounds like it's this. It sounds like you can see the opening of the neck. Now, what the way Rashi presents it, and again, I'm saying over Rashi like Tosfos is presenting Rashi, we're now looking at the following. So here now I have my siman, and what I do first is I make a small incision over here on top, I make a small incision over here below. And now what I do is I cut, and I make a third incision right in between those two incisions. Okay. What happened? So the way Tosfos explains Rashi, what happens is as follows. When I make my first incision over here, so this is not shechita because I didn't cut the majority. But what I have now done is I've created pressure above and below. When I made my second incision below, so again, that's not shechita because I didn't cut all the way through, but what I've done now is I've created even more pressure over here. And so now that I've created pressure in that middle area, so now as I'm shechting that middle area, so now because of the pressure that was created from here and here, so now it's not shechita meforas. It's not going to be opening up as much in that now I've created pressure from the two sides. Says Tosfos, explaining Rashi, the Gemara now is concerned that this would be an invalid shechita because we don't have as much exposure in such a scenario.
Pressure in terms of the neck pulling apart from where you're cutting it?
Contracting.
Right. So as far as Rav Yehuda quoting Rav is concerned, even though I just explained the concern, he's not concerned. He says that the shechita would be good. Now, I presented, this is Rav Yehuda talking. Remember Rav Yehuda's trajectory? He first learned by Rav, and then after the patira of Rav, he moved over to Shmuel, and he learned by Shmuel. So very often we have throughout the Gemara, Rav Yehuda comparing notes between what he learned from the yeshiva of Rav and what he learned in the yeshiva of Shmuel. So when he presented this to Shmuel, so Shmuel says, I disagree. In other words, under these circumstances, because of the pressure that you created from those two incisions, so now the shechita, as you go through the middle, is not going to be an exposed shechita. It's not going to be opening up as much. And Shmuel says it is not a good shechita. And Rabbi Shimon Malakish agrees that the shechita has to be a shechita mufaras, and I know based on a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The pasuk says, the Navi describes how when you speak poorly against somebody else, it's like you're shooting an arrow. Okay. The tremendous Musar, we're right now we're interested in the Musar, not now. What we're interested in right now is that the Navi Yirmiyahu describes Shechita like an arrow going through. When you shoot an arrow and it goes and it pierces, so what it does is it's one cut that cuts through and opens up the area. That's shechita. Shechita has to be one cut going through, opening up the area, just like an arrow that goes through. Meisav Rabbi Elazar beis ochsim besakim v'shochten afilo echem alamal ve'echem alamata shechita sokshera. Now the Gemara is bothered based on a Mishnah that we are going to be learning on today's daf. Although we're not going to get to it, I can tell you right now. But in other words, this is a Mishnah on the Amud Beis, and the Mishnah describes a scenario in which two people are shechting an animal. Now here's what's not clear from the Mishnah. Are the two people holding each one their own knife? That's one possibility, which right now the Gemara is assuming that's what the Mishnah is describing. Or maybe no. Maybe like that big saw, where everyone can visualize exactly what I'm seeing, where each one of them is holding onto the saw and they're going back and forth, you know, with those big loggers, you know, cutting that big tree. And each one of them is holding an end and going back and forth. That's another possibility. Right now, let's assume each one of them is holding their own knife. And the Mishnah says that the shechita would be kasher. Now, amai v'halak shechita mufaras. Now, if it's two people holding two knives, shechting one animal, so now, according to Yushmol, according to Reish Lakish, so that's no good. Because now, as both of them are shechting, so it's not one singular cut, and we're not having that open wound that we're looking for. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Yirmiyah mishnasenu besakin echad, v'shnei b'nei adam. So Rav Yirmiyah says, yeah, but I disagree in how you're understanding the Mishnah. I don't think the Mishnah is describing where two people are holding two knives. I think the Mishnah is describing two people holding one knife. Like when I say the saw, by the way, we all understand. The visualization I gave is good, but not good. A saw has serrated edges. We're talking about a smooth knife, but just simply being held by two people on two ends.
So,
Okay. Okay.
Two people holding each animal, both persons.
Right. Legitimately, two ways to read the same Mishnah.
What time about two people holding the handle together?
Wait. Hold it. One at a time. So Amar le Rabbi Abba, Ihachi Hainu did Niala. So Rabbi Abba says, I don't think your pshat is good pshat in the Mishnah, where two people holding one knife, because there is a brisa supplemental to the Mishnah which teaches the following: Ein choshishin shema yitrafu ze al ze. We are not worried that they're going to trafe up the animal. Now, that's the brisa supplemental to the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah says it's good, and the brisa is telling us, here's what I'm not worried about. Now, let's consider. If the correct way to understand the Mishnah is the way we originally presented it, two people holding two knives, so you know what? How to read the brisa, the supplemental brisa? It's beautiful. We're going to read it like this. You know how to make sure that a job never gets done? So put two people in charge. It's the worst. Okay, because when two people are in charge now, so each one, you have a diffusion of responsibility, each one is assuming the other person is now taking care of it, and nothing gets done. If two people now are shafting an animal, each one of them have a knife in their hands, so each one realizes, well, why should I have to go all the way through? I got my friend. And he's thinking the same thing. And so therefore, what may end up happening is neither of them are going to go all the way through, and what you're left with is an unshafted animal. Good. And that's what the brisa means when the brisa says, don't worry that they're going to be matrif as a behema. Ela iamar pesachin achas v'shnei b'nei adam, hay ein choshesh shema yitrafu ze al ze, shema yidrasu ze al ze mibayalei. But if you're right, if the right way to understand the Mishnah is two people holding one knife, what should be the concern? Not that the animal is going to be a trefa, but rather, by both of us holding the knife, we may not be working in synchronicity. In other words, instead of going back and forth, which is not only the preferred method, but the only method, rather instead, by both of us holding onto the knife, we're going to go with a forward thrust into the neck. And so therefore, what that is hadrasa. And what the brisa should therefore be saying is, and we're not worried about hadrasa, but we are convinced that they're going to be working in sync with one another, and they're going to be going in the correct back and forth motion. That's what the brisa should have said. Shema yidrasu ze al ze. Amale Rabbi Avin Tani ein choshishin shema yidrasu ze al ze. Only an Amora can do this. Oh, so the supplemental brisa bothers you? So we'll edit the supplemental brisa. And we'll just simply say that the brisa should be reading shema yidrasu ze al ze. Okay, an Amora can do that. Mesa Rabbi Avin, we're on the top of Lamed Amud Beis. Shacha zevesh lamata vesakan lamala. The brisa tells us that if I cut the trachea lamala, and in other words closer to the head, cranial. I know, I have my medical staff here. So then I cut the esophagus and I do so towards the tail, caudal. So under those circumstances, thank you. So under those circumstances, the shechita is a good shechita. So amai v'haleka shechita mufaras. Okay, but it's not one singular cut. And we said, according to Shmuel, according to Reish Lakish, shechita is only good when it's one singular cut. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you didn't understand the case well. So who most of love v'hu mefarikla v'shechita asuya kolkumus. You misunderstood. It's not that we made two separate cuts. We made one cut, but we went diagonally. So we started on one of the pipes. We started closer to the head. On the other one, we started closer to the tail. We ended up closer to the tail, but it was a diagonal cut. It was one single cut. All within the perimeter, all within the acceptable perimeter. There was an ox that was shechted in two or three places. Now remember, this is now a major debate. Rav said it was good. Shmuel says it's not good. So Al Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Shakel Mishufrei Shufrei. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel not only paskin that it was good, but he helped himself to a really nice piece of meat. So it was good and it was good. Thank you. So Amar Le Rabbi Zera Lamadatin Rabbeinu Mishnah Sinim B'Shnei Sakinim Mabez B'nei Adam. Now in your psak, I now come to understand that the Mishnah, which is coming up at the bottom of this Amud, when it describes the knife and the two people, it's not knife, but it's knives. Meaning, we've just learned all together now that two people holding two knives shechting one animal is in fact acceptable. Not preferred, but acceptable. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Hichlid es asakim min simon lesimon upasko psula. A word about chalada. Chalada is one of the five psulei shechita. We introduced it earlier in the Masechta, but we never discussed it with any detail. And now we're going to discuss it with some detail. Chalada, in its most classic sense, is the following. I take the knife, I insert it into the neck between the esophagus and the vertebrae, and I am now cutting in the wrong direction. Wrong meaning, I'm heading now to the front of the neck. Right. this way. Correct. So and that is the classic example of chalada, and under no circumstance would that be good. That is a psul shechita, that's chalada. Over here, however, now we're going to do a little bit of a twist on chalada, where what we're describing right now is I stick the knife in between the trachea and the esophagus. I cut the esophagus in the correct direction towards the vertebrae. I then take the knife out and I cut the trachea in the right direction. So over here, it's a little bit of a twist on chalada, but we're still being machlid. We're still hiding the knife. The word chalada comes from the word chulda, like a weasel. It goes in. And anytime the knife is covered, now I'm going to explain that better in just a moment, so that's a psul of chalada. And so over here, you took the knife, you stuck it between the trachea and the esophagus, you cut the esophagus, took the knife out, and you cut the trachea. This is a psul of chalada. However, tachas ha'or kshera. If the only thing I did is I stuck the knife in under the hide of the front of the neck, and then I shechted in the right direction towards the vertebrae, so then the shechita would be a shechita kshera. So my kamash melantanina. Now the Gemara says, now this is in fact a Mishnah, right? On Shabbos is daf and lamed beis, so we're going to learn together that the Mishnah on chalada, and the Mishnah says, o sheichlid es asakin, tachas hasheni upasko, Rabbi Shava v'amar nevela, Rabbi Kivamar trefa. Now machlokas atanaim, how bad is it? It's bad. Meaning the shechita is not good. Machlokas atanaim, whether the animal's a nevela or the animal's a trefa. And on Lamed Beis, we'll explore this machlokas a little bit better. But in other words, the Mishnah, for our purposes right now, the Mishnah is telling us that this is chalada and it's no good. But the Gemara says, yeah, that's true. The Mishnah does say that, but we're adding on to the Mishnah. Because even masnisan hava mina hani mila milamata lamala, de lo ka'avi kider shchita, ava milamala lamata de ka'avi kider shchita, ema shaper dami kamash malan. You see, we are adding to the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah is only describing where you stuck the knife in behind the esophagus and you cut the wrong way. That's chalada. But if all I had was the Mishnah, in our scenario where I took the knife, I inserted it between the trachea and the esophagus, I'm cutting the esophagus in the right direction, I then take the knife out and I cut the trachea in the right direction, you could have made the argument, it's fine. So what we're adding now to our understanding of chalada is, it's not fine. Tachas or kshera. Now, we just said that if I only take the knife and put it under the neck, under the hide of the neck, and cut in the right direction towards the vertebrae, it's good. Beirav amar tachas or eni yodea. Now the yeshiva of Rav says, I don't know. Now I don't know meaning it's not good. But they're not saying definitively it's not good. They just simply say, it may be chalada, but it's a suffix, and we're going to be machmir. So eni yodea, and therefore it's no good. Ibai yelahu lebei rebi darmi tachas or eni yodea tachas matlis mahu. What if I put it underneath a rag, meaning I'm shechting as I normally would, but I take a shmata and I put it over the knife while shechting. Is that chalada? Tachas semer misubach mahu. Let's say there's a lot of fur right around the neck of the animal. And so before shechita begins, the knife gets buried in the tufts of wool that are on the neck of the animal. Is that okay? Teku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved, we don't know. According to the Chumrah of Rav, the minug of Shochtim, and God willing, hopefully this afternoon, we'll see some of it hands-on. So the minug of Shochtim is to shave the area, right, before shechting the neck, so that there would be no violation of chalada whatsoever. The Gemara leaves the question unresolved, an unresolved question, especially when it comes to shechita, obviously we're going to be machmer. Vayra papa hechle b'miyot siman emahu teku. And then the last line that we're going to be doing this morning is the following. Let's say you do chalada on miyot simanim. Now, again, for this morning, I'm presenting the Gemara like Rashi. Tosfos doesn't agree, but I'm presenting the Gemara like Rashi. The way Rashi describes the Gemara's question is as follows. I shechted the animal correctly for the majority of the simanim. So I've now gone through the majority of the trachea and the esophagus. And if you want to be a little more pragmatic, I go through the entire trachea and the majority of the esophagus. If I stopped at this point in time, so I get congratulations from everyone and we would sit down and enjoy tonight's dinner. However, if let's say now for that last little bit of the esophagus, what I do is I take the knife out, I insert it behind the esophagus, and I cut the mute basra, the remaining section of the esophagus. But I do so in a state of chalada. The Gemara says, under those circumstances, I don't know. Teku. I don't know if the shechita is good or not good. Now, on one hand, if you would have done nothing more, shechita would have been fine. If you would have stopped after Rov, shechita would have been good. But you decided now to cut the last portion, and you did so with the psul of chalada, so perhaps it's no good. Now, it is interesting the way Rashi presents it, because what comes out now is something fascinating. If I would have stopped, shechita would have been great. And yet, because I continued, and because I did so in a state of psul, so the shechita has been invalidated. Even though it's a portion of the simanim that I didn't need to cut altogether. And obviously, in explaining Rashi, on the side that it's no good, so what you're going to have to say is that it's true I don't have to cut it. But if I elect to cut it, it still has the status of shechita. It's still considered a maisa shechita, and if I do so with a psul, so it passes the animal. Okay. Rashi then goes on to say, this is not just limited to chalada, this would be true by the other psulim as well. Rashi says it would be true by hagrama. If let's say, even though Rashi points out, by the way, it was discussed earlier in the Masechta, back on Yates. But Rashi says, let's say I do hagrama, where I go outside of the perimeter, the acceptable, the allowable area of shechita. And even if I do so on the last third, the miut basra, Rashi says, same thing. I'm going to have to say, because of the Gemara's teku over here, I would say the same thing as well. That if I stopped at two-thirds and didn't go up above the allowable area, so then it would have been good. But because I decide to go up, so therefore, Rashi says it's no good. It's going to be pasul. Rashi says the same thing would be true regarding shehiyah. If, let's say, you shech the majority of the pipes, you then take a long break, and then you cut the remaining portion, so Rashi says under those circumstances it would be no good. That also would fall under the Gemara's question of hichlid b'miut simanim, and so therefore, the Gemara says by chalada, Rashi adds hagrama, Rashi says, also at the tail end of Rashi, Rashi says shehiyah. I venture a guess the same thing would be true by Doris, by Hadrasa. I guess Ikur as well. Interesting, Rashi doesn't mention those other two. Okay? But if I had a guess, my best guess would be the other two as well. Anyway, the Adkan. That takes us to the end of today's daf. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the Mishnah.